decades, author, musician, singer Al Cole, from a CBS radio background, now host of the syndicated talk show People of Distinction, celebrity interviews giving high-level public figures the chance to talk about their very special human feelings, too. Because celebrities are human beings, people, and we are all people of distinction. And when given the chance, we will all speak openly about the very reason for our birth, the energy and dedication of what we call love. Hey, and speaking of love, you're going to love these messages. On People of Distinction, we deliver the goods. It's Al Cole, host of the syndicated talk show People of Distinction, throwing the spotlight on the dynamic Akifor Ananiba. You know, Akifor is an immigration attorney and is originally from the African country of Cameroon. He's also the author of a marvelous book called The Land We Leave Behind. And I'm going to weave two important and timely factors here: Akifor's service as an immigration attorney and the social and creative contributions of his fascinating book. Now, listen close, people. The Land We Leave Behind is a book embedded in some fiction and is also the true story of a man's conviction that his civilization has been decimated by the effects of the slave trade and is now being threatened again. Does that sound familiar, people? And we can all date our heritage back to a foreign land, lands that are no longer foreign in our American heritage. Akifor's great work as an immigration attorney, as well as his amazing authorship, reminds us that who we call immigrants today are working in our American communities at an astounding rate of 97%. Get that. Without immigrants to work our agriculture production industries, food prices in this country would escalate enormously. So let's revisit the land we leave behind lives somewhere in all of us and is our birth heritage for all Americans, back to that gripping fact that we are all citizens of our vast and awesome worldwide human family, too. Hey, and if you believe the message, and who really doesn't? You gotta believe. I want you to order this wonderful and timely book, The Land We Leave Behind. All you have to do is just go to this website, thatland.org. That's www.thatland.org. And remember, this book also extrapolates the biblical significance of the myths of the Trinity and how it was used by the slaves to escape into freedom's reach. Another reason to order The Land We Leave Behind. And you can order it at thatland.org. It's also available on Amazon.com. It's Al Cole, host of the syndicated talk show People of Distinction, throwing the spotlight on the dynamic Brent Phillips. And I got to tell you right from the start, people, Brent is a miracle maker. Yeah. And I recommend his methods. I'll tell you, Brent invites you to discover the 7 secrets for unlocking your power for energy healing, manifesting, and higher consciousness living. Now, I know what you're thinking. Whoa, Al, it sounds like a miracle to me. That's right. That's exactly what it is. And Brent has written down the formula to it in his awesome new book, The Formula for Miracles. Imagine that, a formula for miracles, people. And I'm telling you about it. I'm going to clue you in. The Formula for Miracles is scientific as well as spiritual, and it revolves around, get this, the theta state. Hey, that's new, and that's right. The subconscious mind, a little bit of the technology of prayer. Ooh. And the true inherent fearlessness of the mind. Are you getting it? After all, what more of a technological miracle is there than the human mind itself? And I know you're going to want to run to this website and order Brent's amazing new book, The Formula for Miracles. So just go to awakeningdynamics.com. That's www.awakeningdynamics.com. And while you're there, you can watch a live awakening class for free. Hey. Also, get involved with all of Brent's other cutting-edge products, and you're going to be a believer, and you'll know that miracles can be fun as well as enlightening. And it's all at awakeningdynamics.com. It's Al Cole, host of the syndicated talk show, People of Distinction, throwing the spotlight on the super talented Rizwan Burke. He's the author of the intriguing book, Treasure Hunt. Now, treasure hunt could mean a lot of things, and all of it uncovers the treasure map to discover our own life's pathway. So what is life? Well, according to Riz, the fascinating and wonderful way that you can get the left brain and the right brain to work together. Yeah, in other words, ways to make you both a business and a spiritual leader. Whoa there, you know, that sounds a little bit Zen-ish. You know, you better believe it. And I'll tell you, you better be a believer, because when you run to this site, you're going to find out more than you ever anticipated. Go to ZenEntrepreneur.com. That's www.ZenEntrepreneur.com. And don't forget, Riz is an engineer by profession. And not only is he a tech wizard from MIT, he's also designed amazing video games. And if you run to this website, Riz might also teach you a secret of seeing yourself in your own video game. So one more time, you got to go to ZenEntrepreneur.com. And while you're there, join the real-life treasure hunt and win a $20,000 investment in cash or Bitcoin. Hey, whoa there. It's Al Cole, host of the syndicated talk show, People of Distinction, throwing the spotlight on the dynamic Saskia Roel. Saskia is a co-author with Jack Handfield and Deepak Chopra, and her new book is called The New Code of Motherhood. You know, I like the title, and I'll tell you, that title means something, because only women who have babies can become mothers. All right, so they say, Al, that's common sense. But it's not uncommon for a woman to have a problem having a baby in the first place. I'll start to clear things up with a couple of questions. Women, have you been struggling to have a baby? And how long have you been struggling? Now, if you've been told you're too old, or you only have a small chance to conceive, or even if you have unexplained infertility and you're losing hope, well, now there is hope. Unexplained infertility has a reason. And if you want to find out that reason, hey, you got to go to GetPregnantNow.com and do the Yes to My Baby quiz and find out the reason that stands between you and your baby. Go to GetPregnantNow.com and find out what's blocking you from getting pregnant. That's www.GetPregnantNow.com. So remember, if you feel your biological clock is ticking and your life's on hold, I promise you, Saskia Roel can help. All you have to do is go to GetPregnantNow.com. It's Al Cole. We're here on People of Distinction, the talk show that edifies as it entertains and informs. I told you you were going to love those messages. Hey, I'm also the author of the exciting new book, Al Cole Romance for Women. I'll tell you, you know, at last a book of sensual love poetry to women and the needed spiritual relationship guidance to both women and men. Happy to say that my book, Al Cole Romance for Women, is now available on Kindle, and I'd like to thank all of my Al Cole holics who have bought it and also benefited from it, too. That's Al Cole Romance for Women, A-L-C-O-L-E, Romance for Women, now available on Kindle. Thousands and thousands of women, guys too, listen to my talk shows, People of Distinction, every week, and they contact me with their questions, reflections, and comments at alcoholic@gmail.com. You heard me right there. That's alcoholic@gmail.com. So without any further ado, hey, we get into it. Hey, it's syndicated radio talk show host, author, singer, Al Cole, welcoming you to another edition of People of Distinction, the talk that gives an in-depth view of some of the most dynamic, intelligent, and successful people on the planet. I come from CBS Radio. My shows are nationally syndicated, and I've helped pave the way to treating women, guys too, with the dignity that they deserve. And I do that with a lot of things, even besides my show, but certainly with my show, People of Distinction.
airs on top networks, including one of the biggest in the world, Apple's iTunes Radio Network. Under their professional news talk division, they air CBS shows from the BBC, and Fox News, NPR, everything, even C-SPAN. Some of the best shows in the country around the world aired on Apple's iTunes Radio Network, and I feel honored being aired with a lot of the CBS shows that are aired as well. Not only that, all right, I have my own national awards event called the People of Distinction Humanitarian Awards, and you can tell by the title there, People of Distinction. Not only national and international people of distinction, but I think everybody's a person of distinction when they try to put, some love into what they do. Love is our destiny, and that's our natural birthright. And if we focus on a little bit of the love that we've given, the love that we've received, and put it in our business and our social involvement, that positivity that we need in our world, we're going to be a lot better off. And that's what we do at our People of Distinction Humanitarian Awards. We honor humanitarian and creative unsung heroes. Unsung means not necessarily recognized nationally or internationally. It really means they're talking from the heart and soul. They're talking from some of the points of view that maybe people don't know about them, and we love that. And our next event, we've had events, of course, in New York City, sold-out events, and even on Capitol Hill. We've been hosted by Congressman Rob Whitman of Virginia, and we're really, really just very so happy about that. And one of my unsung heroes from that Capitol Hill event, Reverend Temple Hayes, CEO of the First Unity Spiritual Campus in St. Petersburg, Florida, has opened the door for another great event, and that's coming up April 13th. And we're going to be honoring unsung heroes from all areas of the country and even parts of the world, including many of the heroes of Hurricane Irma, some of the people who stepped forward and helped a lot of people before, during, and after that horrendous hurricane. So we do our best to really focus on the heroes that really working out for the betterment of our human family. Also, a communications consultant helps a lot of people at CBS Radio to framework their messages just in the right way. I can help you, too, if you need that help. And I also have my own broadcasting network called the Al Cole People of Distinction Broadcasting Network. It airs with my network affiliates, including Apple's iTunes Radio Network, under News Talk, for not only visibility, great visibility for people of distinction, but I also air the talk shows of other like-minded talk show hosts, including good friend of mine and client of mine, the actress Dee Wallace. Dee Wallace is the actress who starred in one of the biggest films ever, Steven Spielberg's E.T., The Extraterrestrial. We all love that one. Dee played the mother in that film, got the starring bill. Dee is always out there doing new films. She's always in there in my broadcasting network every week with one of her talk show classics called Conscious Creation. We love that. And email me at alcoholic@gmail.com. You heard me right. alcoholic@gmail.com. And I really got to thank my CBS radio listeners for coming up with that handle, alcoholic. Seems like from day one, my listeners have been saying, Al, we love what you're doing there, brother. In fact, we're hooked on it. We're Al Cole-holics. I love that. Coming up, guy who you're going to love too, former Congressman Cliff Stearns. Now, he's a different kind of guy here. We know about stonewalling and, all of that stuff, and really giving preference sometimes to one side of the aisle against the other, and they don't even seem to like each other anymore, Republicans and Democrats. And the American people don't like that too much either. Congress is probably at a 10% approval rating nationally, and that ain't good. So former Congressman Cliff Stearns has a book out, and you're going to love this title here, Life in the Marble Palace. Okay, Marble Palace, that says something right there. In Praise of Folly. Whoa. Now, we're talking about a congressman, or a former congressman, who was there and contributed his efforts in fine ways And now talking about maybe some of the things that we want to know about as the public. You know, this is not conspiracy stuff. It's not dirt. This is actually what's going on from Cliff's point of view here. The real shadow government he's even going to talk about. So what is the real shadow government? You know, we hear a lot about that these days. Shadow government, shadow this, shadow that. Fake news this, fake news that. What does it really mean? Well, we're going to get a lot of the answers from Cliff. I want you to stick around. This guy is very well read, too, in our pre-interview chat. He mentioned people like Erasmus and David Hume. You know, he's a philosopher, so am I. Listen to Chris. You're going to learn a lot. And I want you to order his book, Life in the Marble Palace. It's available on Amazon.com. Welcome, Chris, to People of Boy, I said it again, Chris. I got Chris Stearns on my mind right now, brother. I don't know where that came from either, because I don't even know a Chris Stearns. But we all know Cliff Stearns. Welcome, Cliff, to People of Distinction with Al Cole. How are you today?
Good, Al. Thank you for having me, and I'm glad to be able to have this opportunity.
Let's talk about it. Now, you were a member of Congress. Tell us, you know, what years you served. You came from Florida. You served Florida very well in that capacity. How did you like Congress then, even before we get into your book? Some of the things that you might have contributed in Congress, and how did you like, you know, the pathways that it was leading down at that point?
Well, I got elected and started Congress in 1989, and that was the year of the Tiananmen Square protest in Beijing. Mm-hmm. And I served through the tumultuous years as a congressman, and some of my achievements were particularly dealing with the Veterans Affairs. I was on the Veterans Affairs Committee. I'm a former captain in the United States Air Force, and I got a Millennium Healthcare Bill, which opened up more funding for veterans, as well as providing access for training for nurses. We just have a dearth of nurses in the Veterans Hospital. We needed more. So that was one of my accomplishments. And then I, throughout the my time in Congress, I helped expedite clinical trials for medicine dealing with rare diseases. A lot of rare diseases in this country, and people can't get the medicine through the United States, and they have to go to Europe or Canada. And then also I helped with the Foundation for the Blind, several pieces of legislation, as well as, you know, I was chairman of three subcommittees on energy and commerce, so I had through each of those subcommittees legislation, including privacy, through the one committee dealing with jurisdiction of the Federal Trade Commission. But I have to tell you, Al, that when I look at some of the timeline of some of the events that occurred in the 24 years in Congress, I'm just sort of amazed that these occurred, and they were tumultuous, but at the same time, the United States, as a democracy, seemed to get through them all and continue to prosper.
Mm-hmm. That was then, and then now you have a book out, Life in the Marble Palace. Now, a lot of people look at that and they say, whoa, this is a put-down, because we don't like to think of imperial-sounding metaphors as being, you know, part of the U.S. government. The U.S. government is supposed to be founded on life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. All the positive things, you're defining it now as the Marble Palace, and then in praise of folly, and even more so, what is the real shadow government? Let's take it one by one here. When you said Marble Palace, you knew that that was going to raise some hairs on you know, different people, depending on where they're coming from.
Right.
So tell us, why is it a Marble Palace?
Well, of course, it's the Capitol, and it's really the stellar building in all of the United States and perhaps all the world. It's almost a holy temple of democracy. Mm-hmm. And, of course, when George Washington laid the cornerstone in 1795, and it was built, and then in 1812 the British burned it down, and then we rebuilt it. But the history in that building and providing freedom and access for people of all race, creeds, colors, and ethnicity is just enormous. And we are now the beacon of freedom throughout the world, and we're not trying to conquer anybody. We're just trying to say everybody should have the freedoms and opportunities we do. So the building is really magnificent. As you can see on the cover, That's the picture of the building outside. When you looked outside my window when I was in the Rayburn office building on the third floor. And so I would see this in the night, and I'd see this in the daytime when it rained and when it snowed. And it just, it was a palace of, but a palace of democracy and freedom.
Then, in Praise of Folly, somewhere along the line, it changed. Because
that's right.
And
yes, because
how did it change, and why, in your estimation?
Well, the problem in Praise of Folly, of course, is it's a book written by Erasmus in the early 16th century. He is one of the most notable persons during the Renaissance, and this book was sort of the catalyst for the Protestant Reformation, and it was sort of a little bit of satire and mockery of people at the time, but it also had salient truths that showed people of the need for reform. And so in a larger sense, my book is saying the same thing. That's saying that, you know, we have this country that's over 240 years old, but without reforms, I'm hoping that my book, and I'm not being conceited, I'm just saying perhaps in one small way I can move the American public to have a better understanding of why this country is in serious problems. And so the insights I provide in this book, I hope in some way will be like the Praise of Folly that Erasmus did, some small way to get insights into our political times and obviously create some kind of change.
We get it, and that's what we're into, creating great change in media, hey, today as well as in government, with our special guest, former Congressman Cliff Stearns, and he represented the great state of Florida for so many years, and he's written a book that we're talking about right now, Life in the Marble Palace in Praise of Folly, and you want to get that? Well, you can get that at Amazon.com. Let's get into the real deal here, Cliff, that a lot of my listeners are waiting for. We don't have a lot of Congress people coming forth and talking about the real shadow government. We have media that does that, and these days media can be a lot of things. It can be alternative media as well, through digital media, through YouTubes, and a whole bunch of other sources. And there are sources out there that talk about a shadow government. You're talking about the real shadow government. What is, just to cut to the quick here, what is the real shadow government in your estimation?
Well, Al, I think you can see it working itself through when we had the longest post-World War II recession in 2007. And when Congress approved the TARP funding, which is $750 billion to give to the Secretary, Hank Paulson, the total control and wherewithal to spend that money almost any way he wanted. He promised Congress that he would provide it to the homeowners in giving banks the money so that they could go to the homeowner and say, we're going to reduce your interest rates, we're going to make the amortization schedule long, we're going to say interest only, we're going to give all these options to help the homeowners. But in fact, he switched 10 days later and gave all the money to Wall Street. So in Chapter 20, in The Real Shadow Government, it's really how the intermingling of influence between Wall Street and big business, and in many ways Congress, who benefits from the huge campaign funding that Congress gets from the Wall Street, big business, and these political action committee. And so the decision by the Supreme Court, United Citizen, now allows these super PACs to spend inordinate amount of money against candidates, and there's no transparency. You don't know where it's coming from. And again, it's the huge influence of money. So I think when I came to Congress, I thought it was all about politics, and I started to realize it's a great deal about talking about money.
Well, that is certainly the biggest case here for a shadow government. Money and lobbying interests, funding interests in general. I'm going to ask you a direct question here. A former U.S. congressman, you would know. I don't think it's changed a lot over the years, except for a bigger percentage. Congress people are elected on 2-year terms. We know that, U.S. Congress people.
Yes.
They're always running for re-election, really. Because as soon as they get elected, they don't have a big space of time to then adjust and get out there before they have to now start running again and getting their word out and getting fundraisers in and all that stuff that you know about. Now, this is a big question here. I have heard, maybe you can verify this, I've heard that the average U.S. congressperson, if we want to put it that way, spends about 50% of their time actively or maybe inactively in some way fundraising behind the scenes. In fact, I've heard that there are cubicles, that's my term, but places you can go on Capitol Hill someplace, maybe in the Marble Palace, where there are kind of cubicles that congresspeople go, congresspeople, not even just their staff, but congresspeople on the phone talking to lobbyists, talking to potential fundraising people, and, you know, giving reasons why over the phone with these people, almost like telemarketing. Ways that they can contribute to the cause of that particular congressperson, ways that the congressperson can reach out, justify these contributions. Is that basically true?
It's true. What happens is you can't raise money in any federal building. It's against the law. But the Democratic Party has an office where you can go to, and the National Republican Congressional Committee has an office too. So we would go there during the day, and in the evening we would have fundraisers in what's called a Capitol Hill Club, which is a Republican club, and the Democrats have a Democrat club too. And so you could go and do your fundraising and have receptions there, but in the daytime you could go there, and they have cubicles, just as you mentioned, where you go in and raise money. And also, each party keeps track of how much money you raise and how much money you give to the party and how much you give to your fellow members of Congress. So there's a huge pressure on you to raise money. But the most egregious thing is that the money you raise, you have to give back to the party to retain your chairmanship of subcommittees and full committees. So in a way, it's become a money race for members of Congress who perhaps should be spending time reading the legislation, helping their constituents. But with this money chase, it gets the inordinate amount of time. And in many ways, a lot of members are quitting because of it.
Wow. So the big question here to you, Cliff, is what realistically now, what can we do about that?
Well, the Buckey versus Vallejo decision by the Supreme Court in 1976 changed all of that. Back then, Al, you could only spend about $1.7 million, $1.5 million in a senatorial race, and it was, I think it was about $150,000 in a House race. But under the Supreme Court, it was a 5-4 decision, they allowed unlimited money being spent in campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
So what that did is that when you ran for the Senate, back then you could raise $2 or $3 million. Well, now you run for the Senate, it's probably up to $80-90 million. In fact, the recent House seat in Georgia, where Tom Price, when he left it to become Secretary of Health and Human Services, they spent $40 million just in that congressional seat. And remember, the salary of a congressman is only $174,000 a year. So that Buckley versus DeLeo is the start of opening up this idea that unlimited money can be spent. And then when you combine that with the United Citizen Supreme Court decision about 2 or 3 years ago, I guess it's more than that, it now means all these super PACs can come in, and it's just exploding. And so we got a race for governor now. Governor Scott's going to probably run for the Senate against Senator Nelson. And the Republicans are all lining up, and that's probably going to be a $100 million race for governor. And, obviously the governor is a very powerful position, the third most popular state in the nation. But you just don't need to have campaigns that run for a year or a year and a half. You don't need to spend this kind of money. If you had the Lincoln-Douglas debates where candidates went around and you limit the amount of money and let the people just have a short period to look at it, the American people are smart enough to say, that's the candidate I want, and you don't need to see all these negative ads running day after day, morning, noon, and night, and it gets to be very, not only caustic, but much of the information is probably not accurate.
Look at this, and we're getting accurate information here from Congressman Cliff Stearns of Florida, former congressman, and really talking it up here. You know, he's giving us the real deal, and it's all in his book, Life in the Marble Palace. I want you to go to Amazon. Run to Amazon, people, and order this book. You want to get clued in, the real shadow government, everything we're talking about right now, and People of Distinction with Al Cole. And I'm going to throw something else in here, Cliff.
Sure.
Quick explanation and then a question to you. Now, this goes out to you, my listening audience right now. People, you heard Cliff talk about pretty much validating what I had heard, that a lot of the time, up to 50% of a congressperson's time these days is in fundraising in one way or the other, using that term in the largest terminology inference that we can. And sometimes even going into what I describe as cubicles, and Cliff validated that term. Cubicles, sometimes just calling people on the phone, what we would call maybe telemarketing or something like that. I'm not trying to demean this. I'm just putting it in a way that you, my listening audience, can unpack and understand. Asking for money and getting money. And then sometimes some of the money that they get, they have to funnel back into the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, especially if they're on a seat of Congress that is a leadership seat, things along that line. Now, the big question is, and again, a reflection here, nobody just raises money for somebody else all the time. Now, we know that that's not part of our system, our human nature, if we want to put it that way, whatever. We can raise huge amounts of money, but if we're just giving away, giving it back, just gratuitously or humanitarianistically or whatever, to other sources. Lobbyists come in, they say, sure, we'll support you. You know, you're a member of Congress, we'll support you, we'll give you these and this many millions of dollars or something. And then you're successful. Well, you kind of owe back that money. But also, this is a big point, Cliff, and you've been very candid so far, candidly answered this. Some members of Congress, I guess, are free to keep some of that money for their own purposes that then result in personal profit and business profit for whatever business they're running as a congressman. It's not all just given back to public service and the Democratic Party, the Republican Party. Some of this stuff can be taken as, well, now it's my income. Is that correct?
No, it isn't. If you're a candidate for Congress, either if you're a congressman or a candidate, you can only spend it on certain things.
Okay.
But the FEC is very has rules that say, for example, you can use this money to do fundraisers for other congressmen, or you can use this money to set up a website for your campaign. You can use this money to pay for a treasurer, or you can use this money in many ways to give donations. And lots of times, lots of members of Congress get defeated or lose, then they come back. And I've seen a couple members come back and successfully, and I've seen others not. And then what happens is a member of Congress will probably, let's say he retires, then he or she decides she's going to run for the Senate or for the governorship. They can transfer all that money into a account to help them run for the Senate or run for the governor. So the feedback is sometimes that this money after you leave Congress is available to help if you want to run again, or to help for charitable or donations. And also, obviously, if you're going to do a fundraiser for a fellow congressman, and now that you're out, that works too.
I see. Oh, well, thanks for clearing up the air that way. On People of Distinction, we like to be correct here. And with Cliff, we're very, very correct with what's going on in Congress these days. Cliff, another big question here, and certainly it's going to outstrip the time that we have, so you can make it brief, but it's a big thing. Government shutdown. All right. Now, of course, it's happened in the past. but people don't like it, and they're liking it less and less. And these days, it's shut down, and then it's opened up again, and then it shuts down, and then it's opened up again. And now, what's going on here? Is this something that we can really countenance as a as an American society? What's happening with these government shutdowns these days?
Well, it's a deplorable situation now, because even when I was in Congress, there were some years where we would do a continuing resolution like every 4 or 5 months. And it's because Congress can't balance a budget. All Americans balance their budget, yet Congress can't seem to do it. And it's really an abomination that Congress cannot balance their budget, yet American people are forced to do it. We now have continuing resolutions that run for just 2 weeks. And I think what has happened is the partisanship is so strong and the ideology on both sides, there's no willing to compromise. And I think Americans should realize that we would not have a country without the great compromise back in when the Constitution was finally signed after the Declaration of Independence in 1776 and 1787, they signed the Constitution, but they had a compromise which allowed the big states not to dominate the small states. And, you know, we just need to have an understanding and that you need compromise to get the best deal for everybody, and you can't have it your way.
Is there any way that compromise will come back to Congress in, you know, the next year, 2 years, during the Trump presidency, let's say? Is there realistically a way that we can manage now bipartisan agreement?
I would think with this much money in campaigns, it's difficult. We also have redistricting. If the state is controlled by Republicans, they set up the redistricting every 10 years to favor their party. Democrats do the same. And what happens is you get scared in a primary rather than the general. And if you have a district that is, let's say you have a district that went 10 points for Trump, then the only thing you have to fear is a primary opponent. If you have a district that is, let's say Hillary Clinton won it by 1% or Trump won it by 1%, then that's a swing district. So you have to be more moderate. You have to be willing to compromise, and you're willing to look for solutions, because you've got to make everybody happy on the Republican and Independent and Democrat side. So the money is one of the problems. The other problem is redistricting and all these snake-like congressional districts that are configured to allow incumbents to stay in. And then I think the third reason is that the Internet, as good as it is in the social media, there's lots of information on the Internet that is bogus. And people demagogue it, and I don't know what you can do about that, because we are a country that believes in free information, freedom of speech, but there's got to be some discernment about what is being promulgated, because in the end, some of it gets people worked up. I mean, you see how the Russians are trying to interfere in our elections by putting in fake news to try and get people sort of separated and balkanized, and so we have to protect ourselves.
And also, Russian interference in the 2016 elections is not in and of itself fake news. There was some sort of interference.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay. Because some people would say, oh, that's a myth. Oh, come on.
No. They've been very, you know, they have, and they'll try to do it in future presidential as well as other elections, and we just, you know, we just have to be aware that other countries are doing this, particularly Russia. And, of course, we got China is involved as well as North Korea.
Yeah, yeah. How do you like that? Whoa, this is great info here. People, if you want the real deal, you got to read this book, Life in the Marble Palace. And it's available on Amazon.com through our special guest, former Congressman Cliff Stearns of Florida. And you're listening to People of Distinction with Al Cole. We just have a few minutes left in the show, Cliff. I want to take it out with some possibility thinking here. We end all of our shows on People of Distinction with positivity, and we have good endings. Because I put it this way. Let's say that 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, maybe next week if we're lucky. We get into bipartisan, you know, interrelationships, positive relationships, and you know, the way our Constitution says it should be, the way that most Americans believe it should be. That, hey, come on, let's work for a common cause here, and let's say it happens. Let's say it happens, and all of a sudden, life in the Marble Palace is really an American palace that represents all of the people. Let's say that all of the stuff that we've heard of in our civics classes ever since we started engaging in civics, we now mastermind into a truthful, beautiful, and I would say loving relationship here, politically, socially, and in all ways that even hit our economic equity, if we want to put it that way. All right, large thing here. What kind of world would that look like in Congress that it doesn't look like now?
Well, I think what you're describing is what Reagan talked about when he said the shining city on the hill. In fact, in 1630, when John Winthrop, he was standing on the deck of the tiny Arabella off the coast of Massachusetts, he said, basically, we want to have a city upon a hill. The eyes of the people are upon us, so that if we shall deal falsely with our God in this work, we will have undertaken and so cause to withdraw his support. But I think the United States is an exceptional country, and I think with what you describe, we would continue to be an exceptional country in which, you know, freedom would abound. People would be able to achieve based upon their work ethic, and the weakness in America long term would be negligible because we would be a shining city on the hill.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, I'm going to add my last 2 cents here at the end of the show, underscoring the great sense that Cliff just made here. You know, people, that American palace of freedom and dignity and life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, I say the achievement of happiness ultimately, lives within us from birth, because that is the human dream as well. The American dream is the human dream. The human dream is the universal dream, if we want to put it that way. And I think Cliff knows what I'm talking about, because he's a philosopher.
Absolutely.
He even mentioned Erasmus. Yeah. We're talking about something that is so deep in our birth heritage, that baby coming out of that birth canal and saying, wow, I'm here, I made it, I'm alive. And that's the greatest blessing of all people, just to be alive at all. And that baby is looking around, even though that baby doesn't know a lot, but that baby knows enough to look around with love-colored glasses and say, wow, I'm not threatened by life. I love life. Let's get back to some of the innocence of love in our lives. Let's know that we come from a common source, and we go back to a common source after death. And in between, if we realize both of those sources live in everybody, not just in us individually, everybody out there is just, they want to live, they want to love, they want to do their best at loving their families, living their lives. We need a little bit more equity, understanding, and like Elvis Costello said, I'm a musician too, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Let's try to spread it a little bit more. And spreading it begins with you, people, in your consciousness first. Talk to yourself very seriously about, you know, what you believe in. And when you convince yourself that you really do believe in peace, love, understanding, and all of that stuff, talk to your neighbor about it. Engage in some dialogues, productive dialogues on the outside. We all start doing that more and more. It's going to hit the news media. Once it hits the major mass media and they start talking that way, whoa, we're going to have a new society. And I'm a news person. I'm a major media contributor here with my show. I'm talking that way. I contribute as much as I can in positive ways, in ways that are real and truthful. And if we all do that in the media, boy, we're going to filter it down. Now it's trickled down, truth, to the everyday Joe and Josephine of our society. And they're going to know. They're going to say, wow, they're saying my talk now. Now we can talk freely about freedom. And that's what People of Distinction is all about. That's what former Congressman Cliff Stearns is all about. And one more time, you've got to order this book, Life in the Marble Palace. Order it at Amazon.com. Thank you, Cliff, for being my special guest here today and People of Distinction. I'll invite you back anytime for updates on all of your great work. Thank you so much, Cliff.
Hal, thank you, and take care, and God bless America. think it was good, and you're very eloquent, and you're talking about all positive things, which I think today is such a refreshing tone, because you just hear so much negative on the news, whether it's the main media or anywhere, it's negative, and you're trying to show people what life is about. It's worth living, and living into the fullest, and you're providing that kind of almost evangelistic theme.
That's right.
And so I compliment you.
Well, thank you so much.
So until next time, people, wish you peace, awareness, romance, and mostly love.